Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Welcome in, friends, to the Week 18 preview right here on Fantasy Pros. I am Chris Welsh. I am back. Oh, it was so good last week. They had to bring me back in for the final one. I got Pat Fitzmaurice, D-Bro, the D-Bro, Derek Brown in the house, both my boys, and we are previewing the crazy week for you insane people. These are like the partiers. You know the people that go out and hang out like, oh, 1 o'clock, I got to go home. These are the people that stay out until 7 a.m. and they keep going. If you're going to week 18, whew, God bless you. You're in for a doozy this week. So thank you guys for hanging out with us with the final matchup preview. And hopefully if you've got some ships on the line, we are going to help you dock them. D-Bro, are you a fan, not a fan of the week 18? Because you said something I loved off air we were talking about. You called this like, it was like some version of like the low-key preseason. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, man. So I've always been a huge degen for preseason DFS, and that's the way that I look at week 18. It's all new slate. There's so many different ways that you can go. And if you're dialed in, which that's the way that I wrote the primer, it's DFS focused. There's a lot of plays where people can look at them and be like, what? We're talking about Michael Pirine in week 18? Yes, we are. There's a lot of guys that have not seen the field that will play prominent roles in week 18, man. I love this DGen stuff. And just to rewind this just a little bit, you talking about the 7 a.m. Pat Fitzmaurice, this does not need to go under the radar here. That man is a savage. We're talking about all-night partiers. Pat, that's why Pat's here, because he's got the energy. Oh, he's the guy that will close down the bar and then be up at 6 a.m. ready to go to the gym.
I can see that. We're all like, hey, we're going to get Pat, and Pat's just still dancing at 5 a.m. while we're on the floor. This is totally also a fantasy. This is a fantasy analogy, Pat, but I also feel this way about week 18. And you tell me, this is all great, but no one's allowed to complain at all. People complained all year long about, oh, I got this wrong or this rank or blah, blah, blah. You don't get to complain in week 18 because you two fine gentlemen have set everybody up so great. And week 18, it's all out the window. Pierre Strongs, LaMichael Pirine, Sam Darnolds are out here. There's no complaining. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no complaining in week 18, Pat.
There is no complaining, indeed, Welsh, but as far as my ability to forecast things in week 18, let's just say I'm a little less confident about picking, which players are going to do well and which players are going to do poorly in week 18 than I am in, say, week 8.
Oh, yeah. There's like five quarterbacks that we all actually started the season with. There's like those running backs I listed off. Literally the Rams and 49ers game. It's worse than a preseason game. It's worse than like week 2 preseason. They're all
Jeff Driscoll week, baby.
Yeah.
Who is
going to have the Matt Flynn week and parlay a big week 18 performance into a multi-million dollar contract in free agency? So it's wildly unpredictable. And by the way, just to answer the D-Bro thing, like, that's the Fantasy Football Expo weekend, D-Bro. That's like one weekend out of the year. Most nights I am like in my bed by 10:30 at night. I'm pretty lame. So.
I envision Pat
it's okay.
I envision Pat like Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. He's like, we're not going anywhere. I'm not in just all night long. Fantasy Expo.
It's true. Pat shuts it down, man. And look, like, just because you save all your superpowers up for 1 week, man, 1 weekend, doesn't mean that you don't have them. Okay.
Yeah. Most nights it's like, watch the local weather forecast and I'm in bed 1 week into the year where it's like the bartenders are flicking the lights on and off. Like, come on, one more.
Oh, I love that envision. I hope to be there doing. I hope to see that, Pat, very, very soon.
Matchup previews.
All right, we're going to dig into it. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the channel. That's going to help you out. Trust me, youtube.com/fantasypros. Make sure you're subscribed to that. Subscribe to the podcast. That's all else that you need to do at this moment, at least. So let's get into some games, and we are going to kick off with a couple Saturday games. We got two Saturday games on the slate here. We've got Steelers and Ravens. We've also got no Lamar. So our key question jumping into game number one here is, with no Lamar this week, is it the Tyler Huntley show? Are we going to trust it? Does this matchup against Pittsburgh make him a start? Pittsburgh has not given up a rushing touchdown to quarterbacks all year. And if that is the case, this news did come down just yesterday as we're recording this. We have not seen the adjustment in the ranks happen because he's sitting around 26 as far as Fantasy Pros ranks go. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of replacement quarterbacks that are happening. But are we going to trust Tyler Huntley? Pat, let's start with you.
Well, I've got him higher than QB 26, but I've only got him at like QB 22. And maybe that's too low, but I don't really trust him because, for one thing, he's going to be throwing at guys like Tylan Wallace and Laquan Treadwell and Devin Duvernay. The other thing is, like, Pittsburgh wants this win. They still have a chance to get into the playoffs. So their defense is going to be playing for keeps, and they can turn up the heat on quarterbacks. Like, they're ninth in pressure rate this year. So, this is going to be a very difficult environment for Tyler Huntley to operate in. I would imagine the play calling is going to be really vanilla against a hungry defense. And like, he runs, he'll probably get some rushing value, and that'll help maybe get him into double digits in fantasy points. But I do not expect any sort of fantasy bonanza from Tyler Huntley.
Debro, I mean, the same thing, obviously, with Huntley. Mm-hmm. Is he somebody that maybe you can kind of fling to? Maybe in a super flex, I think this is making more sense. But I'd also mm-hmm. open up the question that, are you worried about all of these whatever guys that are going to show up? Like, is there going to be value outside of Huntley? There's a lot of, this is one of those teams, there's a lot of weird players that are going to be out there. But Huntley a play, and does he make anybody else a play? Because all the guys we want are sitting.
Yeah, I mean, I have Tyler Huntley ranked right now as QB 17, so he's in that same like mid QB 2 bucket. I think the rushing equity definitely puts him there and gives him a ceiling for higher. Like Pat talked about the Steelers' ability to pressure, that's also going to flush Huntley out of the pocket. So if we see him under pressure a decent amount, maybe he runs a little bit more. And we've seen some pliability from this Steelers secondary, man. Like, since week 12, they're allowing the fifth highest yards per attempt, seventh most passing touchdowns, and sixth highest passer rating. So Pittsburgh, while they can pressure, have not been a strong pass defense outside of Joey Porter Jr. So I like Tyler Huntley where he's ranked. I think a QB2 with maybe a little bit of upside is appropriate. The one guy I'll bring up here, because we talked about all the backups playing, I think he's far enough down the depth chart that Nelson Agholor could just operate as the wide receiver one this week. With Odell Beckham, Bateman, Zay Flowers are all above him in the pecking order, I think Agholor, who's been kind of a mix and match wide receiver four for the team, like, he's had his moments, but he's not been a full-time snap player. I like Agholor a decent amount. Like, I'm probably going to bump him. Once I kind of sift out ranks with all the news, he's probably going to be like a wide receiver three this week, because the matchup is actually good for him. Considering he does run most of his routes from the slot, 74% of his routes. And since week 12, the Steelers allowed the third most PPR points per target to opposing slot wide receivers.
So Tyler Huntley may be a play. With rushing yards in play, rushing touchdowns, maybe not so much. Desperation, you could find worse spots and he might want to show out. Just as a quick aside here, Pat, are there any Steelers that jump out to you this week, this final, you know, matchup for the Steelers action? There's a lot of just kind of craziness that's going on at the quarterback position, Tomlin this year. Week 18, we have these storylines we can build in to be excited about. I'm going to talk about something like incentives or, you know, there might be categorical things, but with the Steelers, it might just be playing out strong. Is there any Steeler that jumps out to you?
Oh, man, I guess we just got to keep riding the wave with George Pickens, right? Like, what a bizarre season he's had, like over 100 yards three times in the first 6 weeks of the season. Then like an 8 week stretch where he was averaging about 35 yards a game and had maybe one touchdown. And now he has just gone nuclear with Mason Rudolph being the unlikely guy to unlock him. So I'm just riding it with George Pickens. Like in DFS, I mean, give me some Pickens because he has been just white hot lately. I mean, like, just flames, like NBA Jam hot, where he is emitting flames. So, yeah, like, why not Pickens again this week?
He's on fire. I agree. Let's do it. College football fans and football fans, the national championship is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook is making sure you can throw down on the epic showdown for a shot at big bucks. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on the national championship, which is coming up. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS, because new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on any football game, be it NFL or the national championship, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources.
All right, let's go to game number two. We are sticking into Saturday. We've got the Texans versus the Colts. So I spoke about those fun little things that happened in week 18. Great articles that push out, hey, this guy's almost got this career number, or we're going to talk about one with the Rams. Everyone has talked about Puka Nacua could break the records. Well, there's also incentives. So are you buying into the incentives? Because this game has got two big ones. Dalton Schultz is six receptions shy of 60, which would get him to $250,000. That's his bonus. Devin Singletary is 74 yards short of a $250,000 bonus. So do they both get their bonus, and does this push up their overall value, Derek Brown?
I think they do, but I don't think it's related to, okay, the team saying, hey, let's get these guys a bonus. I think it's just because both of these teams need to win to get into the playoffs. And so I think Houston is going all out, and Devin Singletary is going to be a big part of that. Plus, the matchup is great. I mean, since week 12, India's allowed the 11th most rushing yards, 8th highest missed tackles per attempt. So, yeah, I think Singletary gets to that number. And the same thing with Dalton Schultz, because one, Noah Brown is probably not going to play this game. Two, Robert Woods is not fully healthy. Maybe he doesn't play this game because he's had DMPs and he's dealing with a hip issue. And the matchup is fantastic for Schultz as well. Like the Colts, you know, you can get tight end production against them. Zone heavy defense, he's going to eat underneath. So I will say yes to both of these incentives happening, but I will push back against, there is a lot of puff, a lot of fodder, a lot of things out there, and people make some bad decisions based off of chasing incentives in the betting markets and DFS and what have you. I think that these happen, but because it's the team's motivated to freaking win, to go to the playoffs and to use their best players, not just to like say, hey, we're going to help you cash a check.
Pat, are you ready to make some bad decisions with me? Let's go. Let's make some bad decisions.
Always.
Oh, wait. I was talking about the Fantasy Fest. I'm sorry. No. The incentive. So, A, do they matter here? B, do they hit? And really, C, it just kind of equates to, does this make you like these guys, whether you think they're going to go off because of incentives or not this week?
Yeah, I don't want to be a Pollyanna about incentives generally. I think maybe they do matter with some of the Week 18 stuff. And you know, you can maybe leverage that with player props and DFS. But I'm maybe going to be a little bit naive and say that it doesn't matter as much, if at all, in this game just because of what's on the line. I mean, the stakes are so high. These teams are trying to win first and foremost. But Debro makes the good point that, you know, with no Noah Brown and maybe no Robert Woods, that Schultz is probably going to play a big role anyway. Singletary, who knows? I mean, maybe it's a pass-heavy game plan with C.J. Stroud, but he is the lead back now, so he's got a reasonable chance too. I think these guys could hit the bonuses, but, you know, I'm with Debro that if it happens, it's probably going to happen organically and not because they're getting force-fed in a game with this much on the line.
Boo, you two, you're bummers. You guys are bummers.
I just think we need context about it. That's all. Well, I don't want to sound like I'm bringing the wet blanket here, but like, I've heard stuff this week, people talking about like, oh, Jordan Love's going to be motivated to win the game, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, he's motivated to win the game, not because, okay, fine, he makes more money, but to establish himself as the Packers' future quarterback, to get to the playoffs. Like, okay, do the other things happen? Sure. I just want to give context.
That's all right, well, we're going to talk more about it later, so you can't do anything about it. We're going to get back to Incentive Gate 2 and 3.0. But let's, while we're on the money side, let's go over to the DraftKings Sportsbook, and let's take a look at a prop this week with Devin Singletary. They are terrified. Everybody is terrified to post that Dalton Schultz reception prop, but they're not with Devin Singletary. So how about this? Devin Singletary total yards. Remember, we need, was it 74? His total yard prop is 80.5, D-Bro. Over, under?
Over. Easy over.
Smash. All right. Pat, you want to hit this one?
No. I don't. I mean, I think it's a good number. I was looking at this, and over his last eight games, he has been over it four times, under it four times. The reason I lean a little bit toward the under is that some of those games were played without CJ Stroud. And now that Stroud is back, maybe the Texans are a little pass heavier than they were for some of those games. Very slightly in towards the under, but I don't know if there's much value on this one.
All right, so Pat says no extra money for Devin Singletary. That's what he says. It's the only thing that's important here is there's no extra money, no money for you.
Sorry, Devin.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the Sunday slate. We're getting out of Saturday. Now we got into our first game on Sunday, Browns and Bengals. We've got some guys out in this game, but I'm really curious if, and this is another kind of narrative-driven thing, is a last hurrah something that's really going to come into play for teams and players. And I'm throwing this to Joe Mixon because in theory, this could be Joe Mixon's last hurrah. There's a lot of Chase Brown talk going on. And if that is, will he be going off? Pat, let's start with you. Do you believe in the last hurrahs that they just let him go? And is he going to go?
Oh, I mean, is this necessarily the last hurrah? Like I'm guessing
yeah,
that Mixon probably is playing somewhere else next year. You know, like I know they've not been entirely pleased with some of the personal issues Joe Mixon has had. But like if they did want to keep him, just saying they've got like they're projected to have about $70 million in cap space. I think that's the sixth most according to Spotrac. So if they wanted to, they could probably keep him around. Although I do think they'll probably clear the way for Chase Brown and, you know, maybe sign someone who can share work with Chase Brown. I don't know. I'm guessing we kind of see more of the same this week. Mostly Mixon in a lead role, but with Chase Brown in a supporting cast.
D-Bro, Joe Mixon going off?
I'll say no. I think the Bengals, they're in a weird spot. Like their team is totally banged up. Like Mixon's maybe the only one of the few healthy players they have. Like I don't even know if T. Higgins plays. I don't know if Chase plays. There's not a lot of motivation here. So I think this, honestly, if the Bengals are going to take a team first approach, I think Joe Mixon's definitely out the door after this year. And if that's the case, I do think that some of the things we're hearing about Chase Brown, I'm not saying that he's going to out carry Joe Mixon, but I don't see the team like necessarily feeding Joe Mixon to a monster day. Now, the guy I do want to bring up here, Welsh, and I think he does have a monster day, and I'm going to have him ranked aggressively for this game, is Pierre Strong, man. Ooh. I think that he is the guy that goes off in this game because the Browns have talked about they're resting their starters. We don't know what the Bengals are going to do. We know what Cleveland is doing. They're resting all their dudes. Joe Flacco is already working on his nap for week 18, and they only have three running backs on their roster. It's Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, and Pierre Strong. I think Pierre Strong gets the workhorse workload this week, which is going to put him in the realm of top 15 running back, maybe RB1, because the matchup is fantastic. Pierre Strong is crazy talented. Like amongst all running backs with at least 50 carries this year, 11th in yards after contact per attempt. And we know that you can run all over the Bengals. So talking about guys cementing their futures, this could be a statement game for Pierre Strong. Like we don't know what's going to happen with Nick Chubb next year. Jerome Ford has really played well for most of this season. Kareem Hunt's not back. Pierre Strong could cement himself or at least get the foothold for 2024 with a really awesome game in week 18.
So the question is, Joe Mixon or Pierre Strong in week 18?
Strong. Easy Strong.
Pat, Joe Mixon or Pierre Strong?
I think I've got Mixon ranked higher, but Debro makes a really good point here. I would not want to bet against Pierre Strong in that head-to-head.
Joe Mixon is ranked 18 on Fantasy Pros consensus ranks currently. Pierre Strong, 47. So people have not.
RB12 in my ranks, Pierre Strong.
All right. So
I think I've got him in the 20s. I'm not quite as aggressive as Debro. I like him too, but 46 is way too low.
That might be one of those plays to go and look up. Game number four here, Vikings and Lions. The Lions defense is giving up the 6th most fantasy points to quarterbacks on the year, and Nick Mullins is back in. So, well, at least we, you know, have weeks where we thought Nick Mullins was in, and then it was Jaren Hall. Are we in on Nick Mullins? Because the consensus ranks, last I looked, I'm going to see if it updated, he was coming in at 7. Yeah, he's still 17 on the overall consensus ranks, which is pretty high. And that's going to mean there are some pretty high mins on there. So, Pat, let's start with you. Nick Mullins, are you in for this final week in this bevy of bad quarterbacks that we're playing with? Is Nick Mullins someone you might throw out there?
Oh, man, there is. I don't think it does proper justice to say that Nick Mullins has a wide range of possible outcomes. Uh-huh. Like, it is a vast galaxy of possible outcomes. He could throw 2 first quarter interceptions and get benched right away, or he could throw for like 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is what you get with a guy who just has no conscience when it comes to throwing downfield. Like, he thinks he has Dan Marino's arm, and he does not. And he will just try to thread the needle into some ill-advised throws sometimes. So, man, you just got to hope that he, the guys catching his throws are more often wearing purple than Honolulu blue in this game. So I'm going to cautiously say that, yes, I'm in on Nick Mullins. I like the aggression. I like that he's got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. I've got him at QB 14, but in DFS, why not? Why not make the wager that he holds the interceptions down and just goes berserk in a good matchup?
Well, I mean, 14 is pretty telling. So, Debro, what say you? Can I raise you a 14 to a 13? Or does Pat own Nick Mullins in week 18?
I'm already there. I have him at QB 13.
Oh, and no, Pat,
I might push him into the top 12. And this all comes down to, like, is there a small modicum of risk? Yes, but I'll push back against that because they have turned back to Nick Mullins after they found out very quickly that Jaren Hall should have never started. Yeah. We already have seen the Josh Dobbs show. They went away from that. I think KOC has finally said, okay, we're going to ride with Mullins this week, and he gives us the best chance to win. And dude has been YOLO, and he's been awesome for fantasy. Like, we're talking about, he has averaged in his 2 full starts 357 passing yards, 10.3 yards per attempt, 19 points, 20 points. This matchup is fantastic. Yeah, I'm all in on Nick Mullins. Like, I don't think the Vikings bench him because we already have seen and they know what they have in the other guys, and yet they're going back to Nick Mullins. To me, that's telling that Kevin O'Connell this week is going to say, you know what? Maybe you throw a pick, but we're riding with you. And I know that I got flamed in all the YouTube comments whenever we recorded a show earlier, and then Jaren Hall ended up getting the start for the Vikings. I said it then, and I'll say it now. Jaren Hall is not the future of the Vikings, never was and never will be.
All right. Well, Bret Hart, he's like, he never is, never was, and never will be. There you go. All right. Game 5. A couple of people like that reference of wrestling. Game 5, Jags and Titans. So there's some interesting thing. I think Kirk returned to practice. He was floating around there. We got the Lawrence stuff. But I'm going to bring us back to, for our key question of this game, Incentive Gate 2.0. DeAndre Hopkins has 3 $250,000 incentives, gentlemen. Here is what DeAndre Hopkins needs. 7 catches, 39 yards, and 2 touchdowns to be $750,000 richer. Each one of those individually is worth $750,000. So how much does DeAndre Hopkins walk out with? And of course, is this part of the reason that he goes off? Debro, let's start with you.
I think his pockets get lined this week, and I think it really comes down to the matchup. You're looking at Jacksonville over the last few weeks have been extremely high or extremely profuse in as far as too high usage. That's been great for DeAndre Hopkins. Against too high, he has 24% target share, 2.3 yards per route run. The Jacksonville secondary has been bad. This is one of those games, like, I think Tennessee can win this game, and we've seen Jacksonville fall apart. in some pretty meaningful moments. This entire team is banged up. The defense is not great. I think Hopkins could go off here. Yeah, I'll bet on it.
Pat Fitzmaurice, will you buy these incentives, and how much richer is DeAndre Hopkins?
$500K. Well, he gets the receptions and the yardage. Yardage is a low bar. He'll clear that easily. I'll say he gets 7 receptions or more also. Not going to score 2 touchdowns.
Okay. And do you buy that he's going to, from a fantasy perspective, this is a great week without the 2 touchdowns, hitting those incentives? Is that going to be a big fantasy play?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, Hopkins is a pretty reasonable wide receiver 2 option this week.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
No, I got him at wide receiver 15, and I could push him higher, just depending on if we get news about Chase and some of the guys that are also in that same neighborhood.
We have not done this yet, so let's go and jump over to the Fantasy Over-Under Challenge sponsored by Betting Pros, where you can go over to fantasypros.com/challenge, and you can play today for the final week of the season. They've had week and monthly prizes, so you can get in on a weekly prize if this is it for you. Here is our over-under. They have 10 picks every single week. All you do is pick over-under. We are going to help everybody out because we got a player out of this game, Travis Etienne, 13 fantasy points, over or under, Pat?
I'm going to go under. It's been kind of a rough go for ETN lately, save for last week with a nice matchup against Carolina that perked him up. Against the Titans, boy, we know it's tough to run on the Titans sometimes. So I'm going to say under.
Though I will tell you, Travis Etienne is fascinating in the conversation of the 2024 mockers that are going on. I've partook in one mock for 2024. And when you start to break down and look at what everybody did, and then all of a sudden you're staring at Etienne and Rashad White, and you're like, whoa, how did we get here? Etienne's in that conversation. Not the first round. He's not Kyren Williams or anything right now, but he definitely is in the higher conversation. That's a different point, of course. So, D-Bro, 13 fantasy points over under for the challenge.
Under. I think he needs a touchdown to get there. The matchup's not great. Tennessee has been, I mean, they've been up and down as a run defense, but I think they're going to be motivated. And the bigger thing here is Jacksonville has had a bottom 3 offensive line the entire season. We want to talk about why Etienne has fallen off. One, I think that he is dealing with, continuing to deal with the rib issue. That's why I think you've seen his snaps limited more down the stretch. But the other part about it is he's running behind a terrible offensive line. So I think he needs a touchdown to get there. I don't think that he gets it because he's only scored in 3 of his last 8 games. I think recency bias is kind of clouding people's judgment. So give me the under.
But he did it in the championship when I needed him. So that's all that matters. Whatever he does now, my championship. You guys can go again to fantasypros.com/challenge if you want to have fun with that contest. The boys say under. I will say, I'll just go with it. I'll go with under. He's not playing for me anymore for my championship. So he's going to take a rest. So because I'm not there motivating him, it's just not going to happen. So I'm sorry to tell everybody about that. He won't be there for you. Who will be there for you is Trophy Smack. Trophy Smack is the one-stop destination for fantasy leagues this season. Elevate your league to the next level with the most unique and highest quality championship hardware in the industry. Celebrate your league's champion with thousands of fully customizable trophies, rings, belts, and a new collection of metal wall art, Wall Smack, using their, quote, so easy a child could do it design tool, which we all could use here. Don't forget to humiliate the loser. That's kind of what this could all be about, which is awesome. No championship season is complete without a true loser. And that's not me this year in the league, which I'm very happy about. Trophy Smack has a growing collection of humiliating loser awards and punishments as well. So found only at trophysmack.com. Get 10% off with code PROS10. That's PROS10. Minimum $24 purchase expires the 31st of January right here in 2024. So go and check them out today at Trophy Smack. All right, let's jump in to game number 6 here. Jets versus Patriots. Key question. This is kind of a weird one I'm throwing to you. Breece was feeling it this week. I don't know if you guys took to the Twitters to see. And a couple players did this, or I thought it was really interesting. Just with kind of statement tweets. And Breece said this. He said, quote, telling y'all now, 2024, I will be a top RB. I will be in the Pro Bowl. I will be an all pro. And it will continue years after that. I see that type of motivation, Pat, and I go, is Brees about to go off this week? This feels like Brees is about to go bonkers, leading and setting that tone for the coming season.
It's a tough run, D. He's going against with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I see a 100-yard rushing day, but we know Brees can also get it done as a pass catcher. So, I don't know about this week. I'm not super enthusiastic about Brees Hall for this week. He's still got, you know, Trevor Siemian as his quarterback. So that sort of limits the touchdown upside for him. I'm all in for next year, though. I mean, he is one of the five most talented running backs in the league without question. I think I am actually, I've got him RB3 for next year. I've actually got him ahead of Kyren Williams, which is going to annoy some people, but we're about to publish my mock draft article, a 5-round mock draft for 2024. Ooh. So people, I will explain my Brees Hall, Kyren Williams rationale for why I have Hall ranked higher. So people can look for that on fantasypros.com.
D-Bro, is Brees Hall next season a top 8 overall pick in half PPR or higher?
He should be. I tweeted this a few days ago. I think he takes the crown from CMC, and he becomes the new CMC of the league. I think that he's the guy that could step up with the rushing and the receiving utility, assuming Aaron Rodgers comes back next year, which I think we're all betting on that happening. Brees Hall should be a top 5 pick. Easy.
Wow. And the Jets have to improve at least like 2 offensive line spots too.
Yep.
Like draft someone, I mean, sign someone.
They can.
Yeah. Which that can be a draft focus. I mean, you can probably get a free agent wide receiver to come in to build up the core. You've got Garrett to build on. You've got Brees. You build up that offensive line.
Brees could be their wide receiver 2 next year, even if they sign some other supporting help. Like, he's going to get fed targets and he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, he plays it. Yeah, he's definitely been. It's not been CMC. It actually reminds me of like older Lev Bell with the Steelers type of years. He's such a dominant receiver. Yeah. It's not so much CMC, but he's ready to go off. So just take that into this next weekend. Spattering in here a little bit of what's to come for 2024. Game 7, Falcons versus the Saints. Key question for you guys. Ankle injury, looking like it's probably going to keep Kamara out. Jamal Williams is up, but he's ranked only 35 on Fantasy Pros. So, D-Bro, let's start with you on this. Do you need to get Jamal Williams into your lineup this week? Falcons, by the way, giving up the 6 most rushing yards over the last month. The Fantasy Pros rankers don't seem to say so, but do you think that the matchup where makes Jamal Williams a must play?
I don't think he's a must play. I think the volume could make him a RB2, but the other flip side of that coin is they're giving up rushing yards. They are not giving up rushing touchdowns, though.
Yes.
And with Jamal Williams, we know that the volume will be there if Kamara is out, but I question 2 things with it. I question, can he get a touchdown? I don't think so. And will the efficiency be there? We haven't seen that out of Jamal Williams in the last 2 seasons. So I think it's more of he's probably set up for 15 to 18 touches if Kamara is not there. So that puts him in the RB2 range. But I will have him probably ranked in the RB3 range because I don't think he gets the touchdown that he needs.
Pat, is there anything else you feel on this one? I mean, like, everybody's chasing. I mean, a lot of people are losing players. Like, legitimately, people that are sitting out there that were like, okay, let's play till week 18, and they had Christian McCaffrey gone. Like, there's a lot of players that are out. Jamal Williams is one of those players that got vaulted into what looks like it's going to be a volumed starting role this week, and that's a big question, but maybe that excitement isn't there with you as well.
No, I mean, I've got him RB20, so I think he's a pretty good play this week. And, with Kamara getting knocked out last week, Jamal had a season-high 19 carries, only 58 rushing yards against a good Tampa Rundy. But like Williams, he even had 4 receptions, and this is not a dude who is a prolific pass catcher. So I do think there's a lot of upside, and it's interesting that D-Bro says he doesn't think Jamal Williams can score a touchdown. A guy who I guess D-Bro was in a coma for 2022 with, you know, Jamal Williams scoring, what, 17, 18?
Man, I got to tweak you on that way. The Saints have really hurt my heart the entire year. So maybe it's a blind spot, man.
But like, yeah, and like, I'm not even worried about the touchdown outlook. Atlanta hasn't given it up, but is that like, I don't know if we're going to call Atlanta some sort of impregnable defense down by the goal line. Mm-hmm. I mean, no Grady Jarrett since the end of October when he tore his ACL. And that was kind of the difference between this being a good run defense or a pretty mediocre one. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jamal went off this week.
And that is a statement for Pat there too, because like I said, 35 on Fantasy Pros consensus rank. Pat, you said 20, right?
20, yes.
I love it. You can get Jamal Williams in there.
I just update ranks. I've got him at RB29.
Okay, so you guys are both beating consensus right now. So if you're looking for a pivot, Jamal Williams has got volume and might be someone you want to pivot to. You can also go and check out our boys over at Discount Tire, because if you need new tires for your car, Discount Tire is your go-to. They have exceptional service, and you get a 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at discounttire.com. They've got this really great feature called Treadwell, which is an online tire buying guide that gives you transparency on tire performance. We've talked a lot about that this year. As well, they've got personalized recommendations based on your location and driving habits. Discount Tire is also the largest independent tire retailer in the country, so it's got the biggest selection of tires and wheels. And here's that pro tip from the experts at Discount Tire: you can prevent wear and boost gas mileage by keeping your tires properly inflated. It's like, literally, it's one of those adult things. It took me a long time to learn. Keep your tires inflated. Tire pressure supports the weight of your vehicle, and it's important to check for safety. So if it's been over a month since you'd last checked your tire pressure, stop by one of their local stores for a free tire and safety air pressure check. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of. Let's get these games taken care of as well as we go to game 8, Bucks and Panthers. I try not to focus too much on like, okay, you know, here's the very tippy top of the ranks. We were kind of having this conversation off air about ranks are very goofy right now. You know, waivers are goofy. How many of you all out there are really digging into waivers? How many are you paying to who's the number one running back and wide receiver? Well, I'm not going to avoid it here because I found this really interesting. All year long, we have had Christian McCaffrey. Jonathan Taylor's made a little appearance. This week, we got a new number one. So I want to get your guys' take on what performance is your expectation in Rashad White, who is ranked the number one running back this week in half PPR, according to Fantasy Pros consensus. So, Derek, are you buying a big performance out of Rashad White this week?
Yes, I've got him. I bounced Rashad White anywhere from like RB3 to RB1 overall. I think he's in a great conversation for the week with the top four guys for me would be James Conner, Saquon Barkley, and Devon Achan. And I think he's in the conversation with all those guys. Now, how you want to rank them and how you want to approach it is fine, but we know the Bucks are motivated. It's a fantastic matchup. We know that Rashad White, I will be betting the over for his carries this week, depending on where that line opens, because he's almost a lock for 20 plus carries for 20 to 25 opportunities. So yes, I mean, I think the ranking is justified, especially given the week.
Pat, I'm going to flip this. Obviously, you can speak on him this week. I did a mock draft on ITL with our buddy Scott Bogman. I had the wheel pick in a 12 team, and I took Jonathan Taylor and Jahmyr Gibbs. I went running back, running back. Some people gasp. Rashad White was there, and I really love Rashad White, and I love his the receiving ability, and I love the volume that they've given. Does Rashad White belong in the conversation of first round? And really, it's kind of like, where did he go in yours is kind of what I'm alluding to. Like, where was the general space of what RB he went in yours?
For me, he's early second round, and I've got Taylor and Jahmyr Gibbs ranked ahead of him. They're better players. I think they're better, more electric players. Like, you know, I still think Jonathan Taylor is a phenomenal player, and he should be in Debro's top four. He's my number one guy this week. I know the Texans' run defense is pretty good, but like, Taylor is a special player. So is Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm okay with White in the top four this week, but I've got him at RB4 behind, like Debro, behind Connor and Achan. And I just, like, I can't draft him ahead of, even though the usage was spectacular this year, I can't draft him ahead of, like, mega talented guys like Taylor, Jahmyr, Bijan. I think he fits more into the second round of 2024 drafts.
I agree with that. Like,
running back is kind of robusty, bro. That was one of the things we're talking. Well, there's actually a lot of options.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of options, and I think the closer we get to 24, like the draft season, like they're going to be at least 5 to maybe 6 running backs that make it into the first round. Like, I think you're talking about Devon Achane is going to be there. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be there. Bijan will be there. Breece will be there. Probably Jonathan Taylor. And I mean, that's 5 guys right there. So I think looking at that, Rashad White, even going into this offseason, like, he's had the volume, but he has not been efficient the entire season with that volume. So if we see anything happen with the Buccaneers, like, we think Baker Mayfield's going to be their quarterback. We don't know that. So quarterback's uncertain. Hell, we don't even know. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, do they make a head coaching change? And if that happens, Rashad White's not a first or second round draft capital guy, but he's gotten the volume this year. But could we see a more split backfield next year? I think it's possible.
All right, let's move over to the late afternoon slate, and we've got game 9 here, Bears and Packers. Pat, Bears teammates have been rallying around Justin Fields over this last week. So there's going to be kind of a two-parter here. Is Fields going to be going off? And DJ Moore has been kind of the forefront of this leading the pack. He also had one. He had a tweet. He had one of those tweets where he just tweeted out a GIF of the Joker. And it's an ominous type of tweet of, like, let's get this going. So I'm building a narrative here. But Justin Field, a lot of the team want Justin Fields here. DJ Moore looks like he is poking at us like something big's going to happen. The defense with the Packers has been kind of bad. Pat, what are we in store for with Justin Fields and DJ Moore this week?
Oh, I think they're going to have big days. You said it, Welsh. Like, the Packers defense played well last week, but they were going against Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins. So yeah,
that doesn't count.
Different story. Yeah, like the 2 weeks prior, they got lit up by Baker Mayfield and Bryce Young. So, like, I feel like Fields is going to go off. He's probably going to go off rushing, too. Packers have given up the 4th most rushing yards to quarterbacks, and they can be very undisciplined in their pass rush and like not keeping quarterbacks hemmed into the pocket when they're trying to get back there and get pressure. So I think it's going to be a big day for those guys, unfortunately. By the way, let me ask you guys real fast, what would you do if you were Bears GM Ryan Poles for next year? Would you keep Fields and trade the number one pick for a king's ransom? Or would you draft Caleb Williams and trade Fields? And like, the one thing, I think a lot of people are endorsing Fields. Yeah, he's good. The Bears shouldn't trade him. But I think Fields has one more year of team control for his contract, 2024, and that's it. You draft Caleb Williams, you get, you know, 4 or 5 years where you've got him under control. So what would you guys do?
D-Bro?
Man, I think it's a really damn good question. For me, if I'm in Poles' situation, the question that you have to answer to yourself when you look in the mirror is, can Justin Fields be the franchise quarterback for the next few, like, for the next 6 seasons? And if you cannot answer that with an emphatic yes, then you trade him. If he's not sewn into that being the case, like, if I'm Ryan Poles, I keep him. Because I understand all the great things about Caleb Williams and Drake May, and I understand resetting the rookie contract stuff. I'm a big proponent of Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is the damn truth. I think that people have given him so much crap over the last few years, being surrounded by a bad team, bad offensive line, no pass catchers. And even this year, it's like, if DJ Moore gets banged up or goes out of a game, or Cole Kmet goes out of a game, who's he got to throw to? Like, What are we talking about here? And yet, Justin Fields has produced and keeps producing and has been an ascending passer. Like, we're seeing things out of Justin Fields in this back half of the season that we have not seen previously. He's thrown with anticipation. The arm is good. The pocket presence is good. The light went on for him after week 4. I think that you keep Justin Fields, and I understand all of those reasons, but drafting a rookie quarterback is still a risk. As high as we want to be on Caleb Williams and Drake May and all these prospects, would any of us be that surprised? Like, I'm old enough to remember when everybody was so damn high on Bryce Young, and how's that turned out? Yes, CJ Stroud has hit. He's been fantastic. But we cannot pretend like all of these quarterback prospects, as much as we love them every single year, are can't miss things. So I'm taking the known commodity. I believe wholeheartedly in Fields.
I think there's a possibility they keep Fields and they take Caleb Williams. And that it doesn't maybe help the morale build around, especially like if you're trying to build up Justin Fields, but it might offer them some flexibility to figure out what they want to do. There might still be some trade equity after they were to take and keep him instead of moving that pick. And they could have some trade equity in Fields. It's a great question. But, you know, can you take Marvin Harrison number one? There's a couple things in with this. Just real quick, D-Bro, on the Justin Fields thing. I think there's a path where Justin Fields could be the number one quarterback this week. Part of it is maybe how,
easy.
Like this guy cannot play here and this guy could stop playing here. But I legit think we could be in a matchup spot where Fields is number one. Obviously, you agree.
I've got him at QB2. The only quarterback that I have above him, because I think he goes off this week, is Dak Prescott. But Justin Fields, I mean, come on, guys. Like, he has had 24.7 or higher fantasy points in three of his last four games. We've just talked about all the other, like, top quarterbacks are off the map this week. Lamar's out. Patrick Mahomes is not playing. I know he has not been a high-end QB1, but Jalen Hurts, we don't know if he plays the entire game. Like, all of these guys are pushed to the wayside. Fields is producing, man, and the Packers can't stop him this week. Like, I'm sorry, Pat, but, like, I think him and DJ Moore go off. This is going to be a really, really good game, but I think the Bears win it.
Well, we got two side things to get to. Fantasy Over-Under Challenge, which is sponsored by Betting Pros. We told you about that. Jordan Love, over-under 19 fantasy points. We're going to do some work for some people. D-Bro, let's start with you. Over-under.
Sorry, Pat. I'm taking the under. The Bears defense has been just lights out. Now, I will say this with a caveat. Jalen Johnson is banged up. I don't know if he plays in this game. That could tilt the scales on this. But right now, I'm going under.
Pat, over under Jordan Love, 19 fantasy points.
I got the under too. I bet the Bears on the money line this week. I'm worried about this game too.
My man. See, this is how we separate like real analysis and bias. Pat's not biased. Pat knows where the money's going to cash.
By the way, speaking of bets, going to jump over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. DJ Moore receptions 5.5 plus 124 right now. Over, under, D-Bro, plus 124, 5.5, over.
Over, over, plus money over. At this?
Over,
over,
plus
over.
124, one of my favorites of the week right there, plus 124. Whoa. It is actually the only receiving bet that is on receptions available currently as we're recording this. So make sure to look back and maybe make sure to jump on that right now for some plus money. Let's go over to game 10, Broncos, Raiders, and Pat, we'll start with you. Is there really a Bronco that you trust this week? Maybe I'm going to fire start this. I did this last week with the Cardinals, and I'm like, name me a Cardinal. And then James Conner absolutely went berserko. Thank you. That was all me. So maybe I'll do this to another guy. Is there a Bronco that you trust this week? And I'm obviously alluding to Javonte being the only one that is actually ranked as a starter on Fantasy Pros consensus ranks right now. There is no wide receiver inside the top 36. Javonte is the only guy. Obviously, the quarterback situation is bad. So do you trust anyone?
Nope. And I've got Javonte ranked outside the top 30. He had played less than 50% of the snaps last week. They're kind of rolling with the committee down the stretch. I mean, why beat up Javonte, who you're going to want as your lead running back next year? So no Broncos.
D-Bro, is there a Bronco named Javonte Williams that you could get in? Or is there somebody sneaky that you're sitting around with? I don't trust any Broncos this week, so I'm with Pat. But maybe you're different.
All right. I will say, do I trust him? No, in the sense that I'm not going to rank him as a top 24 back, anything like that. But is there a case to be made for Jaleel McLaughlin? And one of the guys that, if we're talking about 2024, I think Jaleel goes off in 2024. I think that he gets more of this backfield. I think he gets the pass down work. I love Javonte, but he has not been the same player coming back from the ACL. Maybe a good offseason changes that. So I think Jaleel, I'm going to have Jaleel ranked over Javonte this week, but we're still talking about RB3s here. So I don't trust anybody really in Denver. But if I got to start one guy, it'd be him.
All right, let's go over to the Eagles and Giants. This is a tricky one, and I'll allow, definitely with some of these games, you can kind of pivot in different directions you need to go, but there is a report that's out there, but there's nothing official, that the Eagles are considering and trying to figure out if they want to sit their starters, but there is still something to play for. But there is this scenario where starters go, you scoreboard watch, and then mid through this game, starters are out. And that is a real, real stinker that happens in the final week of the season. So, D-Bro, should we be worried about any Eagles sitting their starters overall or in-game?
So I don't think that Devonta Smith plays this week. I think he's dealing with an ankle issue. So I think we're talking about definite guys that have not been ruled out that will sit. I think that he is going to sit this week. But this Eagles team is reeling, man. They need a strong game. They need to come out of this game and be fired up. The offense needs to actually play well, and we have not seen that. They have been a roller coaster, and it has not been a fun ride over the last few weeks. I think that this is a get-right game for A.J. Brown. I think that this is the game where he can have a monster outing, and really we're back on the good foot. The Eagles are feeling good, all that kind of good stuff. For that to happen, either they have a monster first half and they get there and they're up comfortably, or they play the entire game. I do lean that we see the Eagles guys play at least three quarters in this game, regardless of what the Cowboys do, because they need it, man. Like, they need a statement game to fire this team up, to like, because two things cure all of the bad things that happen in locker rooms and all of the bad stuff that goes around: winning and putting up a ton of points. And that, I think that happens this week.
Pat, same thing with you. Do you have an overall concern that these guys are going to get pulled, but maybe not in the third round? Maybe the second round, or the sides, I said round, maybe not the third quarter, second quarter, like much earlier. Like, it's easy for us to manage if these guys get pulled before the game, or if they say, hey, we're not going to start Jalen Hurts, blah, blah, blah. You know how to manage. But if it happens in game, that's a really, really tricky one. Does that make you want to sly away a little bit from any of these guys?
It does in DFS, and I like mostly agree with D-Bro. I think they're probably going to play at least three quarters, and you love the matchup against Washington. I mean, what A.J. Brown could do if he gets a full four quarters against the Commanders. But yeah, like, if they're watching the scoreboard and they see that it's Dallas 28-0 midway through the second quarter, and they have no chance to improve their lot in the playoffs to go from number five to number two, then yeah, what is the point of playing A.J. Brown in the second half? So I'm shying away from those guys in DFS. And, you know, if I'm in fantasy playing like the second leg of a 2-week championship game, I mean, you're probably still playing AJ Brown, let's face it. But, you know, it might steer me away from guys like Dallas Goedert if I have better options, for instance.
Yeah. And I will point out, there are plenty of players that one half of said player is still better than a full game of a replacement. Right. And the Eagles have those. Like, A.J. Brown is one of those guys. He also...
Well, no Devonta Smith, he could get fed in the first
he
half.
Could. We also could see it completely disappear. Goedert could do the same thing. Yeah. Like, Goedert could have a huge monster half. So don't get that twisted that it's like you have to sit these players, but there's a little bit more worry. Maybe you just... Everyone needs to understand the concern. Let's go over to the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Ken Walker, and as I put, handshake emoji, Cardinals' ability to stop runs. So, boom, 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 those two guys. Cardinals are giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs over the last month. Ken Walker is a little banged up, but boy, this does seem like a pretty solid matchup. So, what say you, Pat? Ken Walker, are we all in this week, even with a little bit of banged upness?
Yeah, I'm with you, Welsh. I've got him RB5. Talented, mega talented player. Terrific matchup. The only reason why I have any bit of trepidation there is, like you said, he's got the banged up shoulder.
Same thing with you, D-Bro. Ken Walker, banged up. I kind of wanted, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to make something about Charbonnet in here, but I don't know if there really is anything to pull outside of like the Cardinals defense stinks. So you want to take advantage of that this week.
Yeah, and Seattle's motivated to win this. Like, they need to win to get into the playoffs, at least have a chance. So I think that Ken Walker and all the reports that I read from the beat writers you know, going through the primer, we're very positive about Walker. They said that he walked out of last week's game, no more further issues with his shoulder. They're really, it's load management for practice this week. I think he's going to be a full go in the sense that, like, he's going to get 15 to 17, 18 carries. That's probably all he needs to smash. And the other point that I want to bring up about Walker is that some of these guys, when they're playing through injuries and things like that, you see the dip in their tackle breaking metrics, like Javonte, all these other guys, like Austin Eckler, when he's coming back from the ankle issue. That has not been the case for Ken Walker. Since week 14, amongst 42 qualifying running backs, he is first in missed tackles forced per attempt, 15th in yards after contact per attempt. So he's still being extremely elusive. So I don't think he gets 20 plus carries, but I don't think he needs it to smash this week.
Yeah, and I should have pulled this here. Ken Walker is fifth on the consensus ranks this week among all rankers. Even, you know, he's behind ETN. I think there's a case that he could be above that. I think you can make the case that Ken Walker
he's
might
be above ETN.
Yeah, he might be a top three. He might be a top three overall back this week. Yeah. So ride those Ken Walker shares this week. Chiefs and Chargers. D-Bro, we'll come right back to you. I'm really laying this out to you as the hidden gems coming out of Kansas City this week, because like we've talked about with some of these, we've got some starters that are going to be sitting. Rankers are not putting in Pat Mahomes. I don't even know if that became official. So do you have any hidden gems with starters expected to go or not go in this Kansas City Chargers game?
Two guys I want to bring up here and highlight. The first being LaMichael P. Ryan. I think that he is a candidate for 15 to 20 touches. I have him ranked as a top 24 running back because Kansas City only has three running backs on their roster. Pacheco is not going to play this week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the backup. Like, he's the direct backup, and he is being used every single week. He's probably not going to play this week. So if both of those guys are out, yeah, they probably elevate Denarik Prince. But we probably see LaMichael Perine get the lion's share of the work here. Like, he could threaten for 75% of the snaps this week. And if not, I mean, what's the low end? 50 to 60%? So I like him because the matchup is also fantastic. We know that you can run on the Chargers. They've been a bad run defense over the last few weeks. Since week 12, they've allowed the sixth most rushing yards per game. And the other name that I'll bring up here, and I think that it's going to come down to, because Andy Reid already talked about all their starting wide receivers are sitting this week. I think we're going to see a KC starting trio of Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, and Justin Ross. Kadarius Toney is still not fully healthy. He's limited in practice. That tells me all I need to know about his outlook this week. And plus, we know who Mecole Hardman is. Kansas City knows who Mecole Hardman is. I think it's Justin Ross week, man. I think that he has a good game. I'm probably going to slide him up into the wide receiver three range. Is there a lot of projection with that? Sure. But can we also say that the Bolts secondary has been bad since week 12, sixth highest PPR points per target to perimeter wide receivers? So the two guys, if you're going to the waiver wire, you're looking because you have nobody to start, LaMichael Perine and Justin Ross need to make the cut.
Pat, are you going to co-sign Justin Ross and LaMichael Perine this week?
No, because I don't know what they're going to do with their backfield. Maybe like they consider Clyde Edwards-Helaire expendable enough. They don't really care if they play him and risk injury. And I just can't get on board with any of the KC wide receivers. I can get on board with Noah Gray. Like, maybe Blaine Gabbert decides to lean on his tight end with easy throws down the middle rather than like throwing to bad receivers outside the hash marks.
All right, I like that. And the all-time best just, no. That was a great drop here.
No.
All right, let's go over to my 49ers, the Rams versus the 49ers. No one is playing. Everyone is inactive. So we'll do some quick hitters here. Pat, we'll start with you. Eli Mitchell or Mason this week?
Jordan Mason. I think they've already said there have been reports that they expect Mason to get most of the rushing duties.
Yeah, it's Matt Burrows.
Burrows.
Burrows. I think he did say over in The Athletic that he expects Mason. I'm still a little bit squirrely. I mean, he knows better than I do, but I still feel like, I mean, Mason has had more run than Mitchell has recently with injuries. It would behoove them to get him going, but I have heard the expectation is Mason. D-Bro, you co-sign Mason here over Eli?
Yeah, if you're picking one of the guys, I think it's Mason. And I honestly think they just split the work. Like, I think Eli probably gets a few carries here. Mason probably gets the bulk of the work. If you got to pick one, I would go with Mason.
I threw this one out here because No expectations with Debo, obviously, and Ayuk. So Juwan Jennings jumps up. Juwan Jennings or DeMarcus Robinson really are. I mean, if I don't. Here's the only thing. I don't actually know where Robinson's going to go because he kind of.
I don't think Robinson plays.
Yeah, he gets lined up as the starters in here. So then, if I rechange it, Derek, do you think Juwan Jennings has wide receiver three upside this week?
I think we need to go further down the depth chart for this question. I think that San Francisco is going, I think it's Ronnie Bell versus Tutu Atwell needs to be the comparison for this one.
Okay, I like it.
I think Ronnie Bell would be the guy that I'm going with here. And it's not that I don't like Tutu, but like, it's Carson freaking Wentz. And like, I think the other thing about it is I think the Rams could just use a committee approach with their wide receivers and running backs. They're already sewn up. They don't have anything to play for. So rushing any of their guys out there, playing high snaps, probably not going to happen. You could say the same thing for San Francisco, but I'm not buying all of this stuff. Like Debo Samuel went on the Kay Adams show and was talking about we're all in, all hands on deck. Like, the other part of that quote was he was like, well, we'll probably play and get out of there. So I don't think that we see more than like a drive or two out of like Debo and Ayuk. I would not have any confidence playing those guys. But that also does lead me to Ronnie Bell. And I think he could play like the Debo light role in this offense and be the underneath guy for Sam Darnold.
He definitely does play that. Pat, anything? Juwan Jennings, Tutu, Ronnie?
Is Willie Snead still in the 49ers, right? Could we get a Willie Snead week?
No way.
All right, I'm throwing in with Willie Snead.
All right, Willie Snead.
I would love it.
I wouldn't, but that's fine. That's fine. last quick one. Darnold Wentz, Pat. Are you playing either one of these guys?
Oh, I'm still kind of a Sam Darnold truther. I'll take him over Carson Wentz.
Yeah, D-Bro, you can start the same Darnold.
I'll take Darnold.
Where is Darnold?
Yeah, I've got Darnold as QB 14. I've got him hugged up right next to Nick Mullins in my ranks. And, I mean, we can't draw anything from the regular season performance for Sam Darnold because it's only, like, part of, like, one drive. But preseason, he looks really good in this system. So, I think if we're looking at any of the guys, like, we're talking about if we look back at Week 18, the guy that surprised us that could get vaulted, because you brought this up earlier, Welsh, was that, like, who could blow up in Week 18 and then get a bridge starter contract somewhere else? Maybe it's Sam Darnold.
Definitely a possibility. Two more games here. Cowboys and Commanders. I threw this actually to be more of a 2024 question. I think the Cowboys are going to go at it. If you have something else of note that we're missing here, please do. But D-Bro, is CeeDee Lamb the number two overall player? I've seen a lot of discourse with these mocks and conversation about where is CeeDee. Some people say he's number one overall, even over CMC. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill question comes into play. Is CeeDee Lamb the number two? I'm going to say the number two because I think CMC is the just unanimous number one. I don't see the argument going against it this year, but either way, it's fine. Is CeeDee the number one wide receiver in the land for 2024?
Yes. I think that what the world we're looking at right now, he is the new, I mean, he's McCarthy's new Devontae Adams. He's getting all the volume. He's freaking amazing. Like, he has had such, if he had that type of production, not just from Week 8 and Dak Prescott had played that type of level football the entire season, CeeDee Lamb would be in the same conversation as Tyreek Hill for people. He would be threatening for that 2,000 yards and breaking records and all of that kind of stuff. We could see that next season for CeeDee Lamb. Like, he is that freaking good. And there is nothing around him that is going to threaten him to get a Cooper Kupp in his prime level type of target share in 2024. He's my wide receiver one for the next year.
Pat, do you agree?
I do not. And I love CeeDee Lamb, and he won me a couple of championships this year. So I don't want to besmirch him, but I'm taking Tyreek Hill over CeeDee Lamb. Sorry. Like, Hill just shows up week after week after week. And like, I'll either have Lamb at number three overall behind McCaffrey and Tyreek, or number four overall, depending on what the Vikings do at quarterback and who is paired with Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
If Cousins comes back, Pat, you putting Jefferson over CeeDee Lamb?
I would.
Okay. I don't push back. Like, I think this is just another conversation of that we're going to talk about all next year in saying wide receiver early and heavy is the way.
Yeah.
Like, outside of the top running backs. Like, if you got a top three pick, it's like, you know, choose your flavor of your favorite wide receiver.
Yeah, because of the depth also of the running backs. Fantasy over-under challenge sponsored by Betting Pros. The final one, CeeDee Lamb, over-under 19 fantasy points. Pat, what do you got?
Is this for the first half or for the game? I'm going over.
D-Bro?
Easy over. Easy over, baby.
Right.
Smash it.
All right, we're smashing the over. Final game. We've got Bills and Dolphins. This is Sunday, the final Sunday night football game. I threw out here James Cook or Devon Achane. That was my final question here. What side are you going to take? Pat, what do you got out of this one?
Give me Achane. Yeah, he's so good, man. All he needs are like a decent number of touches. And last week he got 18 of them, 14 carries, 4 catches, 137 yards and a touchdown. I like Cook too, but I think the matchup is a little easier for Achane also. So, but if Raheem Mostert does play, I would pivot to Cook though.
All right.
So let's make that caveat clear.
Just want to throw this to you, D-Bro, that James Cook is third in the consensus ranks. Achane is 14th in the consensus ranks. So same question to you.
I am taking Achane handily over James Cook, and I love James Cook, but this matchup is terrible. I do not have James Cook ranked as an RB1 this week. I have him as an RB2. Miami has been a shutdown run defense over the last few weeks. You could talk about what Gus Bus did, but he still wasn't efficient. This matchup is smash worthy for Devon Achane. Like, he needs to be top 5, top 3 status this week. The Bills have returned to being a terrible run defense. Since week 12, they are allowing the 4th highest explosive run rate, 6th most rushing touchdowns, and 7th highest yards after contact per attempt. So I don't think that we see Raheem Mostert. He's still not practicing, dealing with the ankle and the knee issue. So I'm projecting him to be out. And even if he were to play, it could be more of like in an emergency capacity. And this backfield is really just Achane, Jeff Wilson, and Chris Brooks.
I love it. You can find these fine gentlemen on Twitter X. You can find Pat at Fitz_FF, D-Bro over at D-Bro_FFB, and the primer, the crazy primer. How insane is the primer this week, D-Bro?
Man, I pared it down, but even in a pared down fashion, we're talking about 65 players that I wrote up that people need to target for DFS and stuff. And really the underlying score here is, yeah, if I didn't write up the player, not high on them for this week.
Easy stuff. Make sure you guys also check out the premium products the Fantasy Pros has got for you. You want to be hanging out with D-Bro? You want to be hanging out with Pat? Your opportunity, you can do it in the Discord. You can get access to all the fantastic tools. And just make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, which you might be watching right now. Or on the podcast side, you can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. Thank you guys so much for hanging out for the final Week 18 preview. You guys killed it. Congratulations to everybody. And we'll talk to you next time right here on Fantasy Pros.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, Every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.